welcome back to another exciting, thrilling, super duper, excellent, fantastic episode of On and Off the Field with your hosts, Durf. All right, calm down. And Dylan. It's season 4, episode 46, total episode 166. 1-6 short of being a very dangerous episode. This is your award-winning podcast, by the way. We did win an award. Somehow.
We did.
Because
we tried hard and did our job.
Exactly. Look at her with the fucking confidence right there. Look at this guy. Just popping off. Like, we earned that. Like, yeah,
we earned did. It.
Woo! Yeah, we're brought to you by the PartyCast Network. Where the party never ends. Or if it does end, the next one. What did you say? What was your thing?
But if the party ends, another party begins.
I feel like that's like a Gandalf quote almost. It's like when one life ends, another begins. Like
where
some like really
one
deep
party
meaning.
Ends.
All right, that's our show, folks. We're going to just cut it off right there. No, we can't cut it off because this is our AFC East episode. We get to talk about the gosh darn Bills.
Yeah, buddy.
That's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Gabe Davis is excited.
Gabe Davis?
Yeah, he's thrilled. That's not Gabe. Deion Dawkins, sorry. I don't know why I said Gabe Davis. Like,
when did you get a Gabe Davis cut out?
I wish I had a Gabe Davis cut out. That'd be a lot cooler. No, sorry. I didn't mean that. No, Deion, I'm sorry. Don't cry. I love you. Oh, he's wearing my wig, too. His hair grew. Before any of that, we need to do the most important thing on the planet Earth. We need you to start flossing. Dirt flosses. I floss. It's very good for you. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. Follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share anything on and off the field related. Durf, give them the step-by-step, just in case they need it. You know.
All right, let's break it down. You can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe us by watching us live every week, Thursdays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking those subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing off the stream or any and all the posts you like.
Which is all of them.
Which is all of them.
I don't know how you'd see a post. How do you see a post and not go like, oh my God, everyone needs to see it.
Yeah. Right?
Share it. Like it. Do it. Share it. Like it. Do it. Sports. It's in the game. EA Sports. There you go. My mind just kind of goes everywhere, you know, just like bing bong EA Sports. Like, whoa, where'd that come from? Okay. So we are talking about the AFC East. And I know the Bills are in that division. Calm down. Yeah. We'll get there. I promise. We're going to get there. But first, we need to talk about the team that holds the 2022-2023 regular season MVP for the NFL season. That will be the New York Jets, whose quarterback is Zach Wilson, who is already leading the MVP votes, according to sports books in Vegas. A lot of people have put money on Zach Wilson winning MVP this year.
Oh boy.
I don't know why you do that. I don't know. I get it. Banging your mom's friend, that's really fun. That's cool. I get it. But
and a little more chunky now, and
it doesn't really translate to football. And if he gets too distracted, Joe Flacco and Mike White are right there, ready to take over the reins if he slips. The Jets are screwed, aren't they?
Probably.
It's Zach Wilson, like, Joe Flacco, and Mike White.
Like, this team has some pieces, but I don't think there's enough right now to say that, oh, this team is great. They're going to do so much this year. No, they have a lot of rookies right now, a lot of second-year players that are good talent-wise, but Robert Saleh hasn't got it all to mesh together yet. Now, can this year, can we see some improvement? Probably. Does that mean that the Jets are making the playoffs and threatening the Bills for the division? I'm not 100% positive on that yet, just quite yet.
I feel like the Jets are kind of like the AFC East's Lions, but just one year behind.
Right.
Yep. So, like, I feel like this is the year the Jets look like the Lions did last year. Like, they're going to show some spunk. They might win a couple of games. You know, they might lose some of the winnable ones because that's what teams that aren't all put together yet do.
Right.
And they might end up with, like, four or five, you know, if they're lucky, six wins. But then people will be like, hey, this is – they'll be talking about the Jets next offseason like we talk about the Lions right now. Like, hey, if they, like, show that same spark and they added these new pieces, whatever they do next offseason, and they keep it all together and they don't give up on everybody, you know, like Robert Saleh, like, if they just have another bad year, they just start blowing it up. Like, that'd be stupid. You know, you just keep it all together, keep going, keep improving. Maybe next year we could be going, hey, this is like an 8-9 win team, maybe. I feel that's how I see the Jets right now.
Right. And I think that's completely valid. And I think, you know, I think that one of the Jets' biggest problems is going to be those divisional games. I think is really what's going to hurt them. Playing the Patriots, I think, is going to be, I think, tough. For the Jets, I mean, last year that we watched the Jets get completely obliterated by the Patriots with Mac Salad Jones over there.
Mac Salad Jones. Okay, all right. I was thinking more Mac Attack or like you know Big Mac Jones, but you went Mac Salad.
Mac Salad.
Okay, that's fine. You do you. We'll get that t-shirt printed immediately.
But I think like you said, I think they're like they're this year's last year Lions, basically. And you know, I think they're gonna be at the bottom of the division. I think there's still too many new pieces that are trying to become a cohesive unit for this team. Could they surprise us a little bit? They could. Do I expect it? No.
That's why it would be a surprise, because we wouldn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like they don't have like that leader figure really. I mean, I look at this team: Zach Wilson, Breece Hall, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, Garrett Wilson. Those are the five main pieces on their offense, along with CJ Uzama at tight end. Who's the leader? Who's the guy that's going to rally this offense? I don't know. I have no idea. And on defense, Carl Lawson, Sheldon Rankins, Quentin Williams, he's like getting there in year. Like his like his third or fourth season, I think. Right. John Franklin Myers, CJ Mosley is there. That's definitely going to be their defensive leader with CJ Mosley. That's actually a pretty decent player right there. He got hurt last year though. That was their big thing.
Right.
They do have Quan Alexander, but he's behind Quincy Williams at linebacker, which is kind of weird. But then they got DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner at corner. I mean, the defense has its pieces. And I think that's what a lot of us have talked about in this offseason between the draft, like offseason additions. The defense looks great. For the most part, the offense has the pieces. We just need to see it come together, and we need to see some kind of leader emerge.
Yeah, and I think you know, I think the Jets had the same leadership problem that the Cardinals do.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think that's pretty fair.
Very, very, very similar team. You know, looking at it from between the both teams, and, you know, defense has leadership, offense is questionable. They're basically the same team, so, but they're probably a year, the Jets are probably a year behind the Cardinals, so what the Cardinals do this year is what the Jets should do next year. So, maybe.
So you're saying Zach Wilson should hold out for a contract and their top wide receiver should start taking PEDs now and get ready for the suspension?
Yes.
Okay. Solid plan. I love it.
Absolutely solid plan.
I don't see anything wrong with that one. So the next team we got up, we have to talk about the Dolphins, who for about 95% of this offseason, everything has been trending upward. It's been very positive. And then, like, shit kind of hit the fan here this past week. Just the past couple days, things kind of went awry. The NFL finally determined that they, yes, indeed, did tamper with Tom Brady, but also Sean Payton. They tampered multiple times throughout 2019 through 2022. They were caught tampering with people under contract. So they lost their first-round draft pick for this year. They lost their third-round draft pick for next year. Mm-hmm. And the owner, Stephen Ross, has been suspended from all team activity and was fined $1.5 million.
Good.
Whew! That's a lot. I mean,
right.
And I feel like we all kind of forgot that they had, like, tampering charges, kind of, you know, they were being investigated. Because the NFL kind of went quiet on it. They just did their thing.
Right.
And then, like, bam, all of this just hit out of nowhere yesterday. It was crazy. Like, it just got, like, tweet after tweet. Like, oh, my God. It just kept going. Like, shit, I forgot this happened. Holy cow. Right in the same time that the Deshaun Watson stuff, then you got the Dolphins stuff. It's like, a lot to take in this week in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think the NFL having a ruling on this whole tampering thing is good. I see it also as a positive for Brian Flores with his lawsuit. I think this absolutely opens the gates up to the NFL seeing that, you know, they were tampering. So what makes them, you know, not guilty of, you know, tanking and literally paying Brian Flores? Now, I thought I saw something recently the other day when this whole thing was coming out that the NFL didn't find any evidence of the whole Brian Flores situation, but it's probably there.
I mean, it's hard to prove tanking and, like,
right,
like proving paying a coach to lose games, and, you know, if he refuses to lose the games, they fire you. Like, that's an extremely hard thing to try and prove.
Unless you're Joe Judge. I feel like. Yeah. And you do a quarterback sneak at the 2-yard line going the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're going to look back in time at, like, the top five dumbest things ever done in NFL history, I feel like you kind of put that one right next to whatever that fake punt was that the Colts did a couple of years ago. Remember that one? Like, it was just the center and the punter. Like, just the center and the punter were right there, and, like, everyone else went, like, to the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And, like, he was immediately sacked, obviously.
Yeah. I remember, like, trying to do that in high school.
Yeah.
And it working, but because, you know, no one knew what to do about it, but.
They just, like, rushed three guys at the quarterback / punter and just tackled him as soon as he took the snap.
Right.
So I feel like you got to put that, like, kind of right next to what the Giants did with that play. It was like what it was like 3rd and 5 or something, 4th and 5. They QB
something ridiculous, like that, yeah.
It's crazy. Oh my god. Yeah. Stupid. So with the Dolphins, outside of these punishments, they've had a pretty good offseason. Tyreek Hill, you know, he caught a 65-yard bomb from Tua in practice. So, you know, he threw one short in practice and everyone made fun of him. And but then he hit him on a dime down the field. So we're all the haters now, you know. That's what I'm asking. The haters got real quiet real quick when that video hit. They did add Chase Edmonds at running back. They still have Jalen Waddle and Cedric Wilson. Mohamed Sanu exists, but I don't know if he's really that big a deal anymore. Mike Gesicki at tight end, pro bowler, possible all pro. The dude's a beast. Mm-hmm. And then back on defense, Andrew Van Ginkle, Christian Wilkins was added. I believe he was just added this offseason, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he's been there at least a year.
At least a year? Okay. I knew he was with another team, I think, unless I'm thinking of somebody else. But Emmanuel Ogba. Byron Jones is still on the other end. They added Xavier Howard. The team itself has improved miles, in my opinion. But we just have to keep standing here. And they also have a new head coach, of course, who might be one of the most interesting head coaches in the league. I don't remember his name. What's his name?
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. So this man is a very interesting person. Because this is the kind of guy that you'd normally like look at and go, oh, yeah, he's a nerd. Like, he probably belongs in the analytics office or like maybe running some kind of IT thing. No, he's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
And his interviews are pretty good too. Like, his press conferences usually got a couple of hot sound bites there. I feel like the team's gotten better, obviously. If you had Tyreek Hill, usually that means your team got better. But I think the other important thing is they stayed intact, and it's another year of just trying to build on what you already have. But we need Tua to make the leap. It's got to be now. There's no other options.
Yeah. Oh,
or get out of the way. That's it.
Yeah, and I don't think Tua's success would affect Mike McDaniel, like his job. You know, I think the Dolphins are looking at like a long term plan here with this head coach. But like they literally brought in Tyreek Hill, who can just about catch anything if you put it on the receiver. Can Tua do that? Some of the time he can.
We've seen games where he pops off, and we've seen games where he looks like he belongs in like junior college. It's very weird with him.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he can do. You know, I think this could be your second place in the division. I could also see him not doing well and being third in the division. But they're teeter tottering right now, I think, between second and third place and making the playoffs. Like,
well, why can't they be first place maybe?
Because there's another team in this division that should be.
We already talked about the Jets.
Yeah, there's other teams though that are much better.
Oh, well, I guess we'll get to them eventually. I don't know which one you're talking about.
Like that team right there.
Oh shit, the Bills. Oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. All right, that's fair. I get what you're. I can pick up what you're putting down.
Picking up what I'm putting down.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, buddy.
That's kind of where I had them. I was thinking second, but we're gonna have to talk about the other team to kind of really. I haven't really decided yet who's two and three.
Yeah, it's a little toss up right now. I think it really depends on how they start. Like that is.
I'm kind of curious to see. So week one is Patriots. So like that's gonna be a huge tone setter.
That's the second year in a row that's happened.
And it's in Miami too.
Okay, it's not normally in Miami. Normally it's in New England. So
I mean, that's a big tone setter because they need that win because their next three games are at Baltimore and then home against Buffalo and then at Cincinnati. They kind of need that first win.
Or they could
start out 0-4. Oh boy.
Yeah. That could be real rough.
Like, things do get easier down the road. Like, they play the Jets and then Vikings, Pittsburgh, Lions, Chicago, Cleveland. So things do get easier. But to start the season, that's whoo-wee.
That's tough. Hot.
That's hot. So I think it's really, I feel like it's really going to be based off of that first game. Are you going to start 1-3, 2-2 if you're extremely lucky? Or are you just going to be 0-4 flat out? Like, that's going to be, it's going to be interesting.
Right.
The New England Patriots are our third team to discuss. I don't know what they've done. They lost N'Keal Harry, and that's all I know.
They lost N'Keal Harry. They traded for some linemen.
They did bring in Devontae Parker.
Yep. They can't decide between Matt Patricia and Joe Judge who's going to call plays.
They still haven't decided that, have they? I forgot that was a storyline. They don't know who's calling plays. That's sad.
Which I feel like for Bill Belichick, that's not like him. But also, like, that's got to be hard on your team. But they could 100%. Also all just, they could also all just know, and they're just completely playing us right now. And, like, oh, this is how they're going to talk about us. Like, we're just going to not tell anybody. And, yeah, I don't know what made Bill Belichick pick those two guys to be the offensive coordinators and calling plays. I don't see any benefits from either one of those. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing, but Joe Judge wasn't that great with Daniel Jones in New York, and Matt Patricia was absolutely awful in Detroit. He was not an offensive. Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator who became a head coach, and Matt Patricia was a defensive coordinator who became a head coach. Neither one of them, besides being a head coach, have been sold the offense. And it's kind of like, what are you doing here, Bill? Like, maybe you need to be checked into the old man home, because there might be a few screws loose and it's just not the same. So who knows?
Well, they still beat the Bills last year, so I mean, you still got a couple of screws in there.
In a game that was literally like not even a football game, because it was, the weather conditions were so bad. I was there and it was awful.
I can't believe you were at that game. That was unbelievable.
That one was bad because of the wind. Now the playoff game, that was just, it was cold, but it was pure joy.
Yeah. Happiness. Yeah. Happiness. That, like, you weren't even cold because you're so happy.
Yeah. And like you're sitting there. And just realizing what's happening in front of you and being like, I just saw that with my own two eyes in person, not on a TV screen. And it's like,
and you'll never forget it.
Yeah. Insane.
So, and I mean, I was looking at their depth chart and I did locate Cole Strange. So that's fun. Their first round draft pick, who was projected like a fifth, like fourth or fifth rounder, however that played out. So there he is. Bailey Zapp is their listed third string quarterback behind Brian Hoyer. Bailey Zapp, you know, basically just Mac Jones 2.0. It literally just looks like him. I don't know. They played the same in college. I guess if Mac Jones doesn't pan out, you could just start Mac Jones. So there you go. Even Brian Hoyer is like just an old version of Mac Jones. I mean, it's three Mac Joneses.
There's Bill Belichick has a thing for Mac Jones type quarterbacks.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I guess Tom Brady was just a very good Mac Jones. If you really think about it,
if you really think about it, he pretty much was.
If you don't think about it at all, it makes sense. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. There, I think I nailed that. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
as their top two running backs, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, and then Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith still there as the tight end duo who just did not get utilized at all last year. It's depressing, right, though. And then Gavin Gatcho on defense, Lawrence Guy, Matthew Judon, very Pretty stout front. Malcolm Butler in the back with Jalen Mills being added from the Eagles, and Devin McCourty is still there with their Kyle Duggar, their first round draft pick from a couple years ago, who was from Double A or something, like not even like the NCAA. Division is like two. A league down. Division two, yeah. That's what we call it. Yeah. It's God damn it, Belichick. You're so weird. What is wrong with you? So, like I said, like the team pretty much looks the same for the most part. I mean, a couple pieces adding here and there, lost a couple pieces, typical offseason, nothing that would like really make you turn your head saying this team got drastically better or drastically worse. But their schedule, you know, because I want to match up with Miami. They obviously start with Miami. We already said that. But then they go to Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Green Bay as their next three games. And then the Lions, Cleveland, Chicago, Jets, and Colts. So, honestly, it's like a very similar schedule almost.
Yeah.
I feel like the Patriots can get more wins out of those first nine games than Miami. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to the second half.
Right. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Because, like, I don't know when they play again, might play each other again in New England. But, like, that first game is going to set the tone. Pretty hard.
They play each other again in week 17.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, that game could literally be
the game into the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be the one that's like, yeah, you could be the sixth seed or go home. Like, you could be that next team out of the AFC East, maybe. But then again, you have to think about all the other strong AFC teams that, you know, like the entire AFC West, that they could all be double-digit wins and, you know, the potential there to not really share a lot of playoff space with other divisions. So, I mean, we'll see, I guess. But over, I guess if you just want to talk about placement in the division, maybe not even a playoff spot, could come down to week 17. Put it that way.
Right.
That'll just be for bragging rights. So I don't know. I'll decide at the end of the show. I'm not sure who's going to end up where in the division for those two.
All right.
So, but we know who's fourth. And apparently we're pretty confident in who the first, you know, who the division winner is going to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident on that one.
Yeah, I'm sitting around 100% that the Buffalo Bills will be the AFC East division winners and possibly a one seed in the playoffs and possibly Super Bowl champs. That is kind of where the Bills are at this year. They're kind of insane, right? I mean, like
it's pretty much insane. It's like how does it get better? How does anything exists right now because of everything going on with the Bills and what they've done this year. It feels like it's a now or never situation, but it probably isn't. And it's definitely, you know, I think it's continued success from what they've done the last couple years. And, you know, that's definitely there's improvement, but it's like, how much improvement can you expect from a team that did actually pretty well in the regular season? There was a couple games where they had some issues. The one game where they apparently were sleeping at the hotel during the game because there was imposters on the field and there were like fake Bills players. And then they played like the most perfect ending to a playoff game ever. Like, how do you expect more than a Super Bowl? Like, it just, like, that's it.
I don't feel like it's weird because you're expecting Super Bowl, but you don't use the phrase like Super Bowl or bust either, because it's still a team that can still be together for like multiple years. Like, everyone's paid. Right. Everyone should be happy. There might be some shifting of players here and there, but like for the most part, this is a team that's here to like to ride or die until they win a Super Bowl or even multiple. I mean, it's pretty insane.
Yeah, and it's one of those it's one of those things where like you didn't think the roster could get better, and it did. When they added Von Miller, they got all these other defensive linemen that came back to the Bills on these team-friendly contracts, like Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips, and then they go get Dalvin Cook's younger brother on the offense to give Moss and Singletary competition and really kind of be like, this guy's going to take your spot if you don't do your job. Like, Singletary really did step up last year. And then, like, there's no question about, you know, for quarterback. Like, you have Josh Allen. There's not, like, oh, I don't know, maybe it'd be in this year. Maybe we need to look at replacing him already. There is none of that. You just find a veteran that can get the, you know, manage the game if anything happens, and you'll be fine. Like, I feel like it's got to feel, like, just calming and comfortable for the Bills right now.
I mean, I think it was kind of fun because Trubisky being with the Bills for a hot minute, you know, he came out and said, you know, when I was with the Bears, it was like, you're doing this the Bears way, and like, you're doing it Nagy's way, and you're doing it whatever we say. But when he was with the Bills, it's like, yeah, just go out there and be Josh Allen. Just go out there and be the Bills, you know, just be a football team and go out there and win and have fun and just like play football to the best of your ability. And I think that's like the big difference. It's a huge, huge culture thing. And you can see it on the players' faces too. Like when you talk to them, they're all happy smiles. It's not like, you know, it's two different ways of looking at it, I guess. And I don't want to compare Super Bowls here, but, you know, just ignore that for a minute. But like the Patriots culture is the complete opposite. You know, it was all business, Patriot way, do your job. And it was successful for them and it worked. But then you have a complete other shift, but the team is still very good. But this other shift in just like having fun, being a good football team, going out there and just doing your thing. I think it's fun to watch. That's for sure. I think it's very fun to watch. So Josh Allen, obviously. Case Keenum's actually his backup. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I
did not know that. Devin Singletary.
They traded for Keenum, I think, from Cleveland, and they brought in Matt Barkley also as competition. Although Matt Barkley should be like practice squad tops, so
they don't have a fourth stringer. So I mean, their fourth stringer must be already on the practice squad,
but or that
good old Matt Barkley. So Devin Singletary, James Cook, Zach Moss, we already mentioned, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis. They get rid of Cole Beasley, but add Jamison Crowder, who still say I believe is an improvement from Cole Beasley. I love Cole. He's extremely good in the slot, can count on him almost every single third down. Jamison Crowder can do that same stuff and more. I firmly believe that. So. And then you also still have Isaiah McKenzie back there as well as your fourth stringer. Dawson Knox, O.J. Howard, two top tight ends. Reggie Gilliam is your fullback. That's kind of fun. Deion Dawkins.
Yeah. That guy right there.
Right there. Roger Saffold, Mitch Morse, Ryan Bates, Spencer Brown is your offensive line. Then you have Gregory Rousseau, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Shaq Lawson, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Von Miller, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Kyir Elam.
Yeah.
That defense is just stupid.
And
stupid
like,
stack.
That's just like the top of the depth chart there on defense. Right. Like there's
you still so got AJ Epinesa player. Back there. Jordan Phillips.
Boogie
Basham.
Yep. Yeah.
This team is something, man.
Just feels good.
And I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to bring it up. But I have to. And it's just like this team right now with how much they have and the potential. Like, I just don't want to see another 30 for 30. It's just like the Bills. picked the wrong time to be a very good football team because of how stacked the rest of the AFC is. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like, we're going to be a good football team at the same time as every other goddamn AFC team. It's unfortunate timing, but they're still better than the rest of them. I feel like it's a tough road, but yeah. I still feel like they're better than all of them.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day.
Getting it done.
Let's officially rank them.
Okay.
We have to make a decision. We know one is the Bills.
Yep.
We know four is the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a decision. Who is two?
I'm going to say Dolphins.
I kind of have to agree. I just feel like that Patriot magic is kind of floating just away, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have enough to put together 9 quality wins, you know? I feel like the Dolphins do have, you know, the spunk and everything to put together 9-10 wins. I don't see that in the Patriots. I just don't. Sorry. Sorry, Patriots fans. Actually, I'm not sorry. Screw you guys. No one cares about you guys. You got enough wins. You can sit down for a couple of years.
Yeah. Take a step back and rebuild.
So this episode actually concluded our division recaps. That's all.
We did it.
That's all, folks. Boop. But us finishing our division recaps is a tall tale sign that football is back.
Oh, yeah. And it is.
We got the Hall of Fame game starting up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, you know, preseason's finally here. Only 3 weeks of preseason. And then we are into real football.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
It's going to be so great.
I feel like I've just been waiting years for this to happen. I'm so excited. I am so excited. So I hope you all are ready. Thank you for tuning in this week. And we'll see you next week.
On and off the field. We'll be right back.